broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, that loud. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, good evening, everybody, and a hearty hello to Lottie Dottie and every other body, and a great big shout out to all you MAGA patriots, maybe in an on or two, and those on the road folks. Giving a salute to our Space Force Rangers, who welcome to our flagship program here, Holistic Truth, on Blog Talk Radio, part of an Atzerim network. It is Wednesday, May 31st. Oh, my goodness, May is gone. June is soon. May 31st, 2023, and we continue to broadcast live from the High Mountain Desert as we continue to hold a space of peace, love, and grace in solidarity with patriots worldwide as the Great Awakening continues to accelerate across the face of the earth. Our goal today, as it is every day, is to help relieve suffering through empowerment by shining our light on and getting to the holistic truth. It is indeed a very exciting time to be alive and aware and awake about the business of this one thing. It doesn't mean it's easy, but it is very exciting nonetheless. And some might even say, I think we're living in some interesting times. So for those of you joining us here for the first time, let's go ahead and define this term, holistic truth. Just as holistic medicine refers to the total care of the human body through the mind, body, spirit, holistic truth refers to the viewing, treating, and healing of our human experience through empathy, compassion, leading us ultimately to forgiveness. It's just a cause and effect. It's what happens. We get there. God says we're going to get there. We'll get there. As we talk about it all, folks, we're going to talk about the physical and the metaphysical, the scriptural and the secular, historical, hysterical, and politically mundane. And we'll be blowing up all them little non sequiturs, as it were, also. And remember, too, as you listen to the broadcast or the podcast, pod people, we love you, too. Question everything. We're not part of the legacy media. I do not expect you to take me at my word. It's not my place to convince you of an idea. I'm here to shed and spread some light. Therefore, take on only what is yours. Not everything's for everyone. Eat the watermelon and spit out the seeds. Keep close what's truth and heals. Discard what offends your spirit. By all means, please, bottom line, research what you hear so you can own your own experience. Welcome to the Great Awakening. That's another part of our topic tonight. That's always a part of our topic tonight, but we're going to be talking about infiltration rather than invasion. That's the headliner, but we're going to talk, have a bunch of questions and a bunch of pointing, a bunch of stuff going on, because we're going to ask, you know, who's who? And once we start talking about this infiltration rather than invasion, I think we're going to have a pretty good understanding of all of that, right? So there's truths and half-truths out there, guys, but we are responsible as individuals to finding it and understanding it, and we're experiencing the unfolding it. We need to look. It's not a fear. It's the contract, and it's the truth of it. So go find it. Don't fear it. Remember your oaths. All right, so going forward, we're going to talk about a couple of different things. We're going to talk about a lot of different stuff. We're going to bring up a little bit of political, just like we said, politically mundane. And we're going to have to, but when we talk about infiltration rather than invasion, you know, we're not going to talk simply about the political field. So we need to talk about all of it. And we see it being talked about, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, you know, what's happening to the medical field, what's happening to this part, what's happening to that part. Well, there's been infiltration rather than invasion, and we didn't notice it. Now we are noticing. And we got to get the creatures out. We got to drain the swamp. We got to drain the swamp. We got to continue to drain the swamp. Get the creatures out. Everybody can see who they are. They're all out front right there showing themselves off, speaking against the Constitution, not sticking up for we the people. We know who they are. And they're acting like we don't. We'll have to talk about that. But a little bit before infiltration rather than invasion, you ask, well, Leander Grace, how far is this infiltration gone? It's deep. It's as deep as the swamp. They got there before we knew it and started doing stuff. Yeah, we're going to talk about infiltration, how to infiltrate, what it looks like, what it feels like, what it seems like. But before we do, I do want to talk a little bit about, because it's right on topic, I want to talk about some of the buzz, some of the headlines. I don't usually do this, but, you know, God said start watching some of the headlines, start watching some stuff and pay attention. Because, and as I did, I didn't watch it over Memorial Day weekend at all. I didn't have, you know, I chose not to. But I did turn it on afterwards to find out that there were some Marines that were accosted and tackled and beaten by teenagers, punks. And I know a lot of people are pointing at the kids and they're saying bad kids, and they are, you know, they're doing bad things. It's wickedness. And I hear a lot of folks, you know, saying that you should respect our service members and all of these other things. And this is, you know, what I want to say about that. I saw a Marine in the fetal position on the ground and young punks kicking him. And I want to say this, that Marine more than likely withheld the initial blows to save those children's lives. You don't want to take on a Marine. The best thing that he could do to save the lives of those around him or her is to do exactly what they did, because had they fought back, they would now be on trial for assault when in fact it was self-defense. So I see a different story emerging out of this. We need to understand that they took a great deal of restraint for them to allow that to occur. Was there fear for them? All of that unfolded because the Marines chose not to beat the ever-loving stuffings out of a bunch of punks. And we saw it unfold. I only saw part of it. Can't watch it over and over. There's no sense in it. All it's doing is just getting us excited and getting us angry and a distraction from what we need to be focusing on, and that's some of the things that's going on in the chambers of Congress, right? I mean, we know there's a lot of infiltration there rather than invasion. We know that. But before we talk about that, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about the Christian wokeness that seems to have invaded Chick-fil-A. Really? And I know everybody's making this great big deal of it because it is a big deal. Did we see it coming? Yep. Did we call it out? Nope. And now here we are. Now here we are. And to me, it's a great big embarrassment after holding them up high as a Christian organization and them insisting this, that, and the other thing, looking as if a fig tree, right? Were they presenting themselves as a fig tree with fruit? And now we see this wokeness. Now, Leanna Grace, what are you talking about, this Christian wokeness? I'm talking about this Chick-fil-A dude, CEO, deciding that he needs to go woke and signal, virtue signal, how holy he is, how contrite he is in public. He wants to do all of this stuff, make a great big old show of his contriteness towards the black race. Who the hell is he? He didn't do nothing. Who is he to say that he can have anything to even apologize for? That's insulting. It's insult. Let me shine your shoes. Let me tell you where to put that brush. Contriteness, that showboating. That's a proud virtue signal showboat. That's all that is. It can't be qualified as anything. Well, his intentions were good. What kind of intentions is it that he gets up on the stage and starts preaching to people that we need to bow down, lick the boots, and shine the shoes of somebody because of the color of their skin? Isn't that what got everything in the wrong place in the first place? Going back and swinging the pendulum the other way isn't going to solve anything. Trying to make yourself lower than what you really believe that you are for whatever a public appearance you want to make. Look how contrite I am. Look how sorry I am for the history of my people. They're not your people. They're God's people. All of us. All of us. And the only ones that are dividing us amongst each other in race, religion, creed, colors, and all that other happy horse shit are those who have something to gain from dividing us. Because we're all creations in the image of God. And that's the truth of it. We start out that way. What gets involved afterwards? Well, a lot of choices come into play. But we can't afford at this rate of our growth as a nation to look back and let them divide us this way. I don't care how Christian it looks. That's just stupid. It's stupid. Well, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. So what are you telling me? That this guy is treating this gentleman who happens to be black as his disciple? Is that what you're saying? He's lording it over him. I'm going to be the master that serves the servant. It's no different. It's no different. It's phony baloney crap. And he needs to wake up. And some of the Christian brothers, I would, you know, and the elders in the church and all of that stuff, approach this. Let's take care of this. Because it's either a Christian organization or it's not a Christian organization. This wokeness, go brokeness. I can't support that. Never, you know, and I know a lot of people tout the chicken. It's good chicken. I've never liked it. it's just another fast food chicken product. And can we live without it? I don't know. Let's see how far they're willing to go with this. It's an insult to me. It's an insult to everything that Christ portrayed. Not one single, the only reason that it's in the book is because it happened in private, so they needed to put it in the book so that we would know it. Otherwise, Josephus would have been documenting it, who wasn't a Christian, but he was a Judaistic historian. Said it right the first time there. So there you have that. So there's infiltration. Now, who's paying him all this money? Who got into his ear and twisted the truth? Is it him twisting and trying to make the presentation, or did somebody else within the false Christian movement, the fake Christian movement, they are and are not? What else is coming? What else is coming? We need to be aware. There are 205 pages, 205 pages, last count that I knew of credible accusations within the Baptist churches. I think it's simply Southern Baptist. I could be wrong. It could be all of the Baptist churches. 205 pages of names of credible accusations, credible assertions of sexual abuse within the church. It would only make sense if that can be in there and lie dormant for so long and nobody say it, nobody talk about it, just like in that was happening in Catholicism. Quieter. So it's no wonder that a CEO of wokeness would be able to infiltrate something like that. And it's embarrassing, and it's meant to be embarrassing. It's meant to be embarrassing. Because all the Christians are backing it, and here they go woke. Well, thank you for smacking it in the face. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Next. And that's kind of where I stand on that. I just wanted to address it. I wanted to address it. And the other thing I want to address, because we are going to talk about the Great Awakening, Awakening Care and Symptoms on the second half of this program, but I do want to get some of the world stage stuff, some of these topics taken care of at the beginning of the program. Before we go forward and start talking about the Awakening Care and Symptoms in the second part. So another thing that's coming up, we talked about this a little bit not long ago, was the entitlement programs and the fact that they are grace paid by the taxpayers. They don't just suck them out of their thumb, right? Somebody's paying that money into something, or somebody's going to have to pay that money back to something. So shouldn't it go for good use? And if we're going to have to pay it out, shouldn't we pay it out in a very responsible manner? And now all we have all of these crybabies, right, in Congress saying, that's mean to make people work. And it's not. But here's what is mean. Here's what I see as being broke. When you're asking people within the system, within the entitlement system, that are getting food stamps, that are getting TANF, getting general assistance, getting whatever it is, Medicaid, Medicare, fill in the blank. Okay. The issue is, once they're in the system, trying to claw out through work is very, very difficult. So do I think that there should be, and I'm going to come up with it, should there be some governing on what's purchased? Yep. Sure, why not? I mean, that's just sensible. You know, why pay for junk food when it's not going to help? It's only going to hurt, make them sick, and call a doctor. Nah, that's kind of the way that is. So is it a morality issue? No, it's a, I don't want to spend my taxpayers' money on that issue. And if, you know, there you have it. So going forward, though, what I have seen, and I've talked to others in the system, what happens is they get a job, they start making money, and then all of a sudden their benefits starts going away relational to the money that they earned. They're no better off. There's no payoff. There is no payoff once you're in the system to get out of it. And I'm talking about for folks who are trying to get out of the benefits system. We need to have a better way to exit the system without as much stress. Because, I mean, I'm gonna give you a picture here that I've seen replay over and over again. I want to welcome everybody into the chat room. We got DJ there. We got thank you, thank you. We got amen. Oh, let me get to the chat room and I'll do some of that. But right now I'm on a roll and I want to finish this. So we've got, let's say we have a single mom with three kids. And she herself has some issues, otherwise she wouldn't, you know, some of them have issues that help them find themselves as single parents. I mean, there's a lot of things on a lot of levels that go into this. So you have a single mom with three kids. And there's a certain amount, there's the money and an algorithm, and no, don't get me starting with it, but they can, you know, yada, yada, yada. Already in places, they have to work a certain amount of hours to remain this. If they go over those hours, then their benefits decline immediately. So they're going to have to either fudge to survive, which is not a fair position to put anybody in, or they're going to have to suffer a little bit, even though they're sweating more and they're having no more gain. So the exiting of these entitlement programs, it needs to be a little bit better thought out, perhaps, okay, because I've seen this over and over. It's a lot easier then to sit back on the couch and say, why should I even try? I've seen people become defeated while trying to get out of the system, and it's not fun to watch that. It's just not. The more they make, the more they take, and they can't get out. And so why not just sit back and do what I need to do to get by and do the rest of it aside to get ahead? And then, again, that puts people in a position where they have to fudge the truth just to survive, and that's not a fair position to put them in. Do I think we need to rein it in? Yeah, of course. Do we need to have better welfare to work programs? Yeah, absolutely. But we also have to make it a whole lot easier, less bumpy for the transition, a cushioning period to help them find their feet. And some people have never been out of the system, so finding their feet can be very, 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 very scary. And they may need a lot of love and attention and hand-holding on the way. So we have to be prepared if we're going to make these decisions, and I think they're the right decisions to make to curb the spending on these entitlement programs, then, yeah, we also have to take responsibility for the situation that we've allowed them to be enabled into. And there needs to be a transition. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how that is. Someone with a better business brain than me can come up with that. But, you know, this one mom was telling me, she was actually working on welfare, working as a caregiver. And she said, you know, because she has to work, meet work requirements. She goes, you know, I made all this money. She goes, but they just took away all my benefits because of it. And I was like, really? She said, yeah. She goes, now I have to go through this whole thing again. I said, you're kidding me. She said, no, this is the way it is. This is why we don't get out. And I was like, wow. So there are some that are striving very, very hard to get out of the system and get their feet up and get their boots going and all of the other strappy stuff. So we might want to look at a little tunnelation or a segue program or some kind of thing that can help them to make it more beneficial to earn. Right, rather than to yearn, because we've allowed and enabled a very codependent, dependent system where out of sheer survival. Of course, some is out of pure choice and irresponsibility. We have to actually say that as well. But for those who are not milking the system on all four udders, you know, we do need to have a really good exiting program that's not going to be defeating as they work their way up. And as it stands now, from what I understand, it is. I mean, and during this COVID thing, what I understand also is that all of the food benefits went through the skyrocketing, but the people weren't any better off, and they already knew how to live with less food. So there was an exchange program going on. We have to be careful. We have to be careful what it is that we do when we're helping people and making sure that we're not hurting them more by telling them that they're not able. So here you go, right? You don't have to pretend to be able. Here you go. And we also, what I see with these entitlement programs, what I've seen is, yes, there's a lot of people that are barely injured and grabbing benefits, and there are people that are so severely in a hurt spot, and they can't get a doctor's attention. Now, where does that come from? That comes infiltration rather than invasion. What are you talking about that, Leah? That comes from infiltration rather than invasion. Friends get in. And then when we come back on the other side of the break that we'll be going to here in a minute, we're going to be talking about the infiltration rather than invasion of insurance, pharma, and big medicine into our lives and into our psyche, into our very belief system, away from the wisdom we used to know, now into this foolishness of into one lab experiment after another. Yeah, we're going to take it on. We're going to go there. We're going to talk about it. It needs to be. It's in our face. We just came off of this COVID yada, 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 right? This vaccine, the RNA therapy, where they're trying to alter our DNA, and people believed it because they've been taught to believe it, and virtue signaling occurred, and we'll talk about some of that on the other side of the break. But before we do go to break, I want to go over here, go into the chat room, and say hi to D Jackson. There you have it. She goes, "What? That right? That makes no sense when they're trying." Exactly. Yeah, I've been in this situation. I've lived it. This is from the chat room, folks. The system is designed to keep them in poverty. Absolutely, it's designed to keep them in poverty. And there's a lot of payoff. There's a lot of. Let me go ahead and clear my throat. Okay, there's a lot of payoff for keeping people in the system. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of payoff for keeping people in the system. And the people that are being kept in the system, whether by accident or design, and some want to be there by choice. We know that. And some need to be there. And we know that. Some people need to be taken care of. That is a truth. And we need to take that into consideration as well. You know, just as we got into, well, we're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. But I do, before we go on the other side of the break, I want to remind folks, just as a reminder. Trump won and you know it. Trump won and you know it. The fake news. I just thought I'd share that thought with you all for a bit. You know, I don't have a lot of commercials and stuff going on, so I just thought that I'd put that very fun and true song out there before we go to our first break. And as we do go to our first break, we are going to keep on the edge of the storm, keep on these things that are coming to the fore. We're going to listen to something from iDrop Media, iDropMedia.com. You can find his work, their work, her work at iDropMedia.com. You can also go over to buy him a coffee and thank them for doing what they do so that we can use it while we do what we do here in the studio. So here is The Storm from iDrop Media. I am your host, Leanna Grace, broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. We'll be back in about two. As soon as the button gets going, do it.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad.
He said we don't go out anymore.
Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job.
I want you to get mad.
I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder, thunder, thunder.
You gotta say, I'm a human being! God damn it! My life has value!
We are ready to fight.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
And bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, that we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living room. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel belt and radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad.
Thunder. See the thunder.
There is a storm coming like nothing you have ever seen. Prepare for it.
Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leanna Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. No, silence isn't going to protect us. That's why we got to talk about it. And then the bad guys can know that we're talking about it. And the bad guys will know that they're not getting away with it, because the good guys are talking about the bad guys and we're pointing to them, because it's hard to figure out who's who, because the infiltration has been so deep and so efficient and very effective. Now, not all problems stem from the same point of time, but I do want us to remember the mentality of those who have taught us about what they call contemporary medicine, but medications versus health. And it was, you know, it was all about the Rockefellers and the Carnegies getting together in 1973. That's the first time this nation that medicine actually started becoming profitable. Until that point, it wasn't expected that you'd be a gazillionaire doctor because you were able to pull out the most kidneys that somehow got diagnosed or misdiagnosed or overdiagnosed. I mean, if you need a kidney and somebody else has a spare one, I'm sure you can find a way to get one. So we have to pay close attention to what some of the bad doctors are doing, because the bad doctors are making the good doctors look very, very bad. But I didn't want to just hang up on the bad doctors, you know, I mean, on the doctors. I did want to talk about, and it also ties into the entitlement programs and all of the rest of the things with the infiltration rather than invasion, and how we're going to come out of this, you know, is that we need to have an exit program for these things. But the invasion comes when, you know, we have our blinders on, or we're on our laurels and we're resting easy, which is what we should be able to expect to do. But following World War II, there's Operation Paperclip, and a lot of mad scientists from the Nazi regime went to both USSR and to the USA. they were shipped. They were paper-clipped up. They were given new identities, all of this stuff, and they were set to work within our own society. Some as doctors, some as scientists. Most of them worked for the government or for some of the three-letter agencies that came into being following that as well. Now, having said that, the millionaire and gazillionaires, who's who, the millionaires and gazillionaires, and I'm talking about not the ones that just happen to have a whole lot of money. I'm talking about the ones that acquired their wealth for the sole purpose of controlling people's lives, a very specific set of individuals. They had owned the rights to our medicine, infiltrated all of that, started rewriting through our universities. You know, started rewriting textbooks, started rewriting the truth of things, started making things that worked be broken. And I'm talking about herbal remedies. I'm talking about different things, you know, that we used to know how to take care of ourselves from the land. And I'm not talking about old pioneer days. I'm talking about the things that really used to be in the pharmacopoeia and on the good doctor's shelves. And it's been instead replaced by the science experiments brought over by the mad doctors. The whole thought process for treating people changed, right? It was good that you didn't have to see the doctor. Now somebody shakes a bony finger at you when you didn't see the doctor. Well, you should go in for a checkup. Why? I feel fine. Yeah, but there's a lot of silent stuff. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go hiking. Well, maybe not me personally, but the personality that's speaking, you know, I mean, what I'm trying to, the character. So it's like, yeah, we can do these things, and then we're cautioned not to live life, but rather to go to a doctor who's going to find something. Why? Because the body is always in flux, and it's always a state, right? There's always a state of progression of something and a deletion of something else. And if we stay in a state of health, our body corrects itself. It becomes a self-correcting machine. That's for another program. So what happens with pharma? Well, we've got insurance, pharma, and big medicine. They're all working together. Why? So that we keep paying them and they're not out any money. The insurance is going to decide how much they're going to pay for pharma. That's going to set the price so that everybody has to pay that. So what happens? We pay the premiums that are going in to pay for it. It's crazy. And then we've got doctors that are getting paid kickbacks so that they can put expensive pills in your body that they really know nothing about. Ban the use of statin drugs except in an extreme emergency. It's killing people's brains. It's robbing them of the cholesterol in their brain that they need to have thoughts. Yeah, and maintain bladder control. A couple of things that we've become accustomed to here in this country. So those become infiltrated by darkness. We're going to point to the darkness specifically here in a little bit. And so then we ask the question, you know, people are falling off of church. Why aren't people going to church? Because there's infiltration rather than invasion there too. There darn sure is. And because we've all become Hollywood woke, maybe not anymore, but up until this point, the sticky place we find ourselves in is because a whole progression of events that we didn't recognize happening when they happened, or we made excuses for on the way. We have to own this. If we don't own it, we can't fix it, because then it won't be ours to fix. So we need to own this. So people aren't going to church because of false messages coming out, either that or one that is confused. How did that happen? And then there were Jesuits. Understand, the only purpose for the organization of the Jesuit army, and there's the white pope, the one you see, and then the black pope, the one you don't see, only focus, the reason for establishment, was to infiltrate, disrupt, and destroy the Protestant Reformation belief system in the movement. And they did that through the same way that they corrupted our knowledge of medicine through the establishment of learning institutions, and then they choose the curriculum, they choose the experts, they choose the tests, they choose the who gets passed, they get choose who gets deskirted or defrocked or whatever it is. Rather than God, now we have a dead corporate entity acting as if it's God, saying who can and cannot teach, who can and cannot preach, what you can and cannot teach, what you can and cannot preach, or you can't be one of us. And that's the same thing that was going on in Jesus' time for the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were trying to control everybody was talking about. And here Jesus comes along and says, no, 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 the kingdom of heaven's at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he would explain it. Is it in the book? Not that book. There's other books that weren't necessarily included in that book. We'll get to that on Friday. But there's evidence of what he taught. There's evidence of a higher knowing. And there were those things that were purposely let out. Even after they were canonized, then they were further left out. And I have, you know, I have copies of the 16th manuscript, 1600 manuscripts, where it was included, these books that have been excluded. We used to know this stuff when we were on this continent, when we first got here. It's time to relearn it. So I want to say that about that. And I just had a call on Monday night, you know, with the caller saying, you know, I don't believe in organized religion, and I don't think God does either. And I'm like, well, we're not really very organized. You know, with 40,000 different denominations, it's confusion. And if we can't as a church admit that we're in confusion, then the door to wisdom is going to be blocked. You know, we need to take a self-account, self-inventory of what our knowledge base is, where we got it, and is there more? Not to beat ourselves up with, just to know what we need next to learn. You know, we've self-flagellated ourselves as believers for a long time, thinking that we have to be perfect when the whole time Jesus is saying, no, it's not. Your heart becomes perfect. You're going to make mistakes. And this contriteness of bending over and shining somebody's shoes, that's just phony baloney. Somebody tried to do that to me. I need to get up. I'm a fellow servant. You don't bow to me. It's the same thing. We don't bow to each other. Every once in a while, we might want to curtsy just because it's fun. We don't have to bow to each other, to other humans. We bow to God. We serve God. We answer to God. And that's why the government hates it. And that's why we keep an eye on the government. And that's why we have a constitutional document that limits what it is the government can do in the name of the people. And we are so far off track. We're getting back on track. How far off track? Well, they stole the election and everybody seems to be not talking about it. The election is still stolen. I still want it back. I still want it back. I'm not willing to move past it. I'm not willing to say, oh, it's okay if you stole it. It's not. It's not okay. And until everybody else really knows how much I mean it, we're just going to, you know what, we're going to play it again.
Trump won and you know it. Trump won and you know it.
The fake news.
All right, that's fun. So moving forward, and it's still fun, we have this monstrosity that is run by money and greed and a lack of moral fiber and moral character. And people in positions of trust are untrustworthy because palms have been greased and we look the other way. And we thought, why did we look the other way? Now, this is where we have to take a look at this. At some level, and this is what I've come to find out, and I know it is within myself sometimes, that I'm willing to look the other way because I want that too. I want all that. I'd like, and so we look the other way hoping that we can, well, if maybe we don't say anything, maybe we can be forwarded too. And that's how it starts. That's how it starts. A little piece of wisdom I learned when I was in prison. I closed the door. I didn't have it closed on me. I had stripes on my shoulder and I walked the walk. But what I learned, and I just lost track. I just had a vision of myself walking on the walk and I was like, oh, that looks really like puffed up. But what I learned is that captivity isn't always noticed. In the prison system, there is an ownership. If you borrow something from somebody, there's stuff that goes on. It's just the way that is. Now, the problem is when that comes out on the street, and it's out on the street too. And in the poorest neighborhoods, a lot of what's going on, and it's not simply because there's a prison influence, but it's because you put a large group of people in survival mode, and they will start gnawing on each other. They'll start using each other. If they're not of good moral fiber and they don't know how to rise above it, there'll be a tendency for usury of each other. So we have to be careful of that as well. And I forgot exactly where I was going to go with that, but I think that's probably far enough because that's exactly where we landed, and I'm going to leave it there. So what else is infiltrated? And I've got over in the chat room, yes, you know, the three together, the Food and Drug Admin is in one place. Yeah. See, the thing is, and they call themselves, but what it is they approve of one another. And they know one another, and they promote one another, and they lift one another up, and they give one another a pass. And you can't really play in their game unless you become like them. And if you get in their part way and you're not like them, they'll be hell to pay. That's just the way it is. And you see it with media traps and all of the rest. If you say something that they don't like, there's a whole media mob, and it's literally a mob, and they all say the same thing until the American people have no other song in their head except what's not true. And then because there's an emotional attachment put to what is not true, it is very, very difficult to get past the cognitive dissonance. And this is an extreme case, but it actually is, this is a straw man argument. I'm making this argument up, although it might exist. So there's not really an argument for it. And I don't like this particular trick, but we're going to use it nonetheless. The idea or the knowledge that this exists, that there is a parent who constantly speaks ugly to their child, tells their child that they're not and that they can't and that they won't and they shouldn't try. There are parents out there who beat up their kids. It is a fact. So when that kid tries to rise above it, what happens when he meets a bully on the street who tells him the same thing his parents did? Because of his zip code, somebody else in the school system tells him the same thing his parents did. And because when he reaches out for help, because of the color of his skin or the zip code that he came from or some of the history that he has, they think, yeah, that's a waste. They think of him as prodigal, as wasted. And I want to thank you for that word. Someone gave it to me this past week. And that might not be the case at all. Told the story over and over. What is this child going to do? How is he going to change the story in his head that he's been told to from day one? How are we, the people, going to filter out and change the story that the media's been trying to tell us over and over and over and over that's just not true? But it's in our head like a beat kid. It's a really sloppy and grotesque analogy, but it's beat into our head like a beat kid. And we have to decide whether we're going to listen to that or not. We're going to have to decide at what point we're going to think for ourselves. Just because, you know, I have preferences of listening, but there's not, you know, we have to also dig ourselves. And just because the narrative supports what we want doesn't mean it's the right thing. Right? And I've talked to a lot of folks that are in the system and on sustenance. They don't want more. They want out, and it doesn't seem like there's an exit. Why? Because the system is set up to have a certain portion of the people down so they can use them, use that slot, right? These people are poor, so activate the poor people narrative because we need more money for this. And my goodness, don't make them act responsible because they may not be poor anymore, and then who will we going to manipulate? Just like they used our black population and head ganged them for so long, right? And now they're going to make a number of reparations. We know that's not right. It's just a showboat. If they say it over and over on enough stations, maybe people believe, everybody believes it, and they don't. They don't. It's just something to get us angry about. It's a diversion. It's a distraction. It's nothing that it means anything, because we're not going to go there, but it keeps us talking. Why? Because there's infiltration rather than invasion. If they can get us, there are people in the middle of this, the sole purpose of making us hate each other, the sole purpose of pointing the finger and say, those people need to get a job. Give them one. Give them one. And then the people over here, well, I need a job. Keep it. Keep it. Get the job and keep it. You're saying what you want. Here's what it is. Do what it is you need to do to keep it. Fill in that blank. And we are all in this together, whether you were at the top of the monetary ladder, whether you're at the bottom of it. It doesn't matter. We are all affected by the policies. And we can have policy-based the systems, or we could have individual-based, needs-based. Right? Just like a doctor. I don't want to go to a policy-based medicine doctor. Well, this is the way we do it. My body says that's not going to happen. So we need to come up with another alternative doctor. Well, we do it this way. Then I have another doctor appointment somewhere else, and it's not involving you. We have to understand that we really do have authority here. We have authority across the board. We can tell the doctors no. We can a lot of times tell police officers no if you do it politely and you haven't committed a crime. We can tell anybody no that we want. I wouldn't tell the judge no. I'd be very careful about that, because that is their court. That's their world. It's their say. We get to say no. We get to set boundaries. We get to say, my tax dollars aren't going to pay for this. I don't want it. Let your congressman know. And let their voices and how they vote hold them responsible. Are they showering folks with unnecessary aid just to enable them to stay broke? It's a question. You'll have to come to that determination yourself going forward. But I think we need to have an overhaul of the exit system, because there are those folks I have watched try and try and try and try and try with no comfort. And as soon as they made another nickel more, there was a dime going out their back pocket, and it's not fair. And it's nearly impossible. And for those who have exited out of it, they can tell you it is so hard. And for those who have substance abuse programs, giving them more money in any form is going to do nothing more than feed their addiction. It is a fact. They'll find a way to turn the money, the food into money, food into cash. It will be found. It happens every day. And if you give a drunk $1 million, chances are he'll be dead by noon. So we have to be responsible in the way we help each other. And we also have to have higher expectations of ourselves when we need help, that this isn't forever. This is just grace. What can I do to help myself? And for those who need help for a lifetime, we need to give it cheerfully, without any problems or finger pointing. And we have to wake up and clean the corruption out of all of these areas that have been infiltrated rather than invaded. And they're infiltrated ahead of the goal. What do you mean by that, Leanna Grease? That means that if they know that in 5 years they're going to need somebody to handle this, they're going to put somebody in position 5 years ahead of time. And they're going to have their position solidified, and they'll be networked within that administration or that office or that department. And then when they need them to stand up and cause interference, boom, there you have it. SEC, they just right there. The senior executive service branch, been there forever. They can jam a copy machine in a New York minute and swear to God they don't know how it happened or how to fix it. They can lose paperwork with a very viable explanation of, oops, sorry, missed it. Did you miss a deadline because of that? I'm sorry. Call it the Fight Club effect. That's all that is. and I'll let that simmer for just a little bit. We have a few more minutes. I do want to go ahead and take a break. It's going to be a little bit of an extended break rather than just 2 minutes. We're going to go ahead and take 4 minutes, and we're going to be talking on the other side some of the winds of change that are coming about with this great awakening. We've got all kinds of excitations going up in the with the big orange ball in the sky. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about some of the other energetic things that are going on that have been noticed and been brought up, some of the argumentative things that are coming up, some things I'm going to choose not to talk about. But since I won't be bringing them up, you'll never know what they are. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We're talking Holistic Truth here on Blog Talk Radio, part of our Nat Serim network. We're talking about the infiltration rather than invasion in all of our walks of life. We're going to still talk about that on the other side of the break because we do need to talk. Well, you know what? We're going to do it now. We're going to do it now. We got time. We'll do it. The infiltration into our education system. That's the obvious one. That's the low-hanging fruit, and that's why I left it for last and almost forgot it. Now, how did that happen? Well, let me tell you, when I went to college for special education, that was my degree, when I went to college, I was already an adult and had already served in the Army and gotten out. Most of you know I'm a vet. Some of you don't. Now you do. And then I went to college, so I was already an adult. You know, I was already mostly grown up. I still had probably mostly grown up, right? And I went to college. And what I realized is that I was surrounded by a bunch of giggly girls and boys in my Foundations for American Education's class. I wasn't super old, right? But I wasn't a giggly high school kid, and I was surrounded by newly graduated kids right out of school, right out of high school. And dare I say, their moral compasses were not yet set. And very much I saw some of the professors wield their minds, and I saw other professors try to open their minds. But nonetheless, what I saw is a bunch of immature kids that were going to be teaching children. That's what I saw, and I'm not being mean. I am being accurate in my description. There was a story that our Foundations of American Education teacher told us, and it was about a little girl who would come into class, and she always had messy hair. Her hair was always just atrocious, and it was all, you know, up on top of her head, and she was always scratching it here, and she was scratching it there, and, you know, and it just one day she just really could not leave her hair alone. You know, this thing was the way that the teacher described it. It was all matted all up on top of her head, almost like a beehive hairdo, but only not attractive. And she said that she decided to go ahead and send this little girl to the nurse's office to find out why it is that she was scratching her head so much, because, you know, they didn't want to lie and all that stuff. So she did, and she went to the nurse's office to come to find out that child had a nest of mice in her hair. And when the Foundations of American Education's and professor said that last part, the entire class burst out in uncontrolled laughter. I did not. I had tears in my eyes. The whole of the class, with the exception of maybe very few that I did not notice, the whole of the class busted out into uncontrolled laughter as if Johnny pissed himself in a third grade class. That's why I didn't go into the public education system, because I was surrounded by immature idiots. Now, when you let immature idiots who don't have formally formed brains and they don't know a moral code to say from a PIN ID, then we've got problems, because those are the ones who don't know how to set good boundaries, who don't know themselves well enough, who don't know how to be adults, and we're sending them in to teach our children. And then later on, we have this great big wave of individuals who identify as, and we can fill in as many blanks as you can figure, as you can come up with, that are also immature, undisciplined, self-centered, and they're teaching our children. We need to think about this, people. Should there not be an older age that we allow to be around our children? Someone who has proven themselves in life to have an adjusted vocabulary, an adjusted self-sense, and an adjusted, I don't know, maturity and a sense of morality for the sake of morality and a sense of decency? Because we're not paying attention and our kids are being hurt. And not all of those wounds are seen. Just like not all of the things that happen in school are seen by the parents. So we might want to also think about the maturity level that we're allowing to go through these educational courses in our upper educational system, just a thought. It's about the children. And there has been a change, and there's going to continue to be a change on dimensions and levels that we cannot yet imagine. And things that we have never seen before will be revealed to us. And some of it's not going to be fun, and some of it's going to be whoa. But just like anything else, if we hang in, hang out, and hang on, God's got a reward at the end of it. If we knew how good it was going to get, we wouldn't mind how bad it seems right now. The winds of change are blowing with the Scorpions. I am your host, Leanda Grace. I'll be back on the other side.
By listening to the wind of change.
lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. And Trump won, and you know it, and I just thought I'd put that in there, right there, for that time. So I want to welcome you back here to Holistic Truth. I am your host, Leander Grace. We're broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. A little bit of staccato and stutteration was done on purpose just for your enjoyment. So welcome back to the broadcast. Want to bring a little bit of levity because we're going to bring a little harder, you know, we're going to get a little intense again, and we want to kind of bring it back so it can breathe and be comfortable. We got a little conversation going on, me and D-Jackson going on in here, and they're saying, you know, that it's right that the children spend too much time with teachers, 8 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is building on what we were talking about just before we came back from the break. And it is, you know, and my response was, you know, I agree. They learn the same thing every year, each year, and I forgot the word new, with new social twists, you know, and some social agenda twists. So, you know, we can teach the children reading, writing, and arithmetic and that, but we don't have to beat them up with it. And some people want to spend time with their kids. Some people want to. Do they need an intensive education for 12 years in a row? I don't know. We might want to look at that. Is there a range in the age where they learn better and that they process better? Is there a time when their behavior itself will call into question their ability to pay attention to the material presented? Should we challenge children during the time of puberty to bring this information into their brain when they're already dealing with everything else? And they have to sit next to the opposite gender and go through the attractions? Or they sit in front of a confused teacher and don't know what's up or down? Or being taught not to know what's up or down, or being taught something opposite of what the parents are trying to teach them. We have to think about our kids' education, what it is that they're being exposed to in our absence that we may or may not know about, probably don't know about. And because we're supposed to be able to trust these institutions to do what they say, which is teach our children reading, writing, arithmetic, or the quadrivium, as it were. Right, quadrivium of studies, we'll get to that probably at a later date, but the whole collection of information. And this whole pull to target our children for all the strange stuff is nothing more than try to separate them from an idea of a creator who got it right the first time. And to sterilize our children, to cripple our generations. So the adversary can laugh in our face because look what he made us do. Look what he got us to go along with. He's got us to go along with killing unborn babies, and now there's one state passing legislation. You can kill your kid up to 28 days. Well, that's a bargain. We're just getting stupider and stupider. Because we're trying more and more to get farther and farther away from what is good and decent and still trying to make it okay. That's like taking a sledgehammer, breaking your own damn leg, and then saying, well, that's okay, I got a bandage around here. And then doing it again, no, I got more bandages, it's okay. What are we doing? Keep hitting ourselves in the head with the hammer. No wonder we can't remember anything past the evening news. We have to have memories longer than a news cycle. We have to be able to, well, I think it is true. We're not going to get past this if we don't find it within ourselves to get over ourselves and our own preconceived prejudices about what we think this group of people is about and what we think that group of people is about, because this group of people over here told us to think that way and reinforced it with a large media campaign. When in fact, the very ones, medicine no longer makes us healthy, it keeps us sick. And once we get sick enough, they can pass us on to the hospitals. And then the hospital gets to make a little bit of money. Unless, of course, you have something real going on, like having a child, and then they want to kick you out before anything goes back to its own size. It used to be you were in there for a week, which was really good because that's a hormonal adjustment anyway. And then before that, you wouldn't even expect it to go to the hospital. You just right there at home. All the midwives came along, had a party down at the Saturday Night Hoot Nanny, just having a baby. We took care of it ourselves. We didn't have, and they said, well, it was a high death rate. Well, there was only a high death rate when they started spreading disease on purpose. We have to get this into context and realize that all of the arguments that they used were the same arguments that they created, the same way that they did this mRNA injection. The same way. The method is old as the hills and twice as dusty. So what are we going to do about it? Being aware of it, talking about it, deciding not to take it anymore. When are we going to do something about it? What can we do? You can call your congressman and your representative. You say, well, I have a deadbeat congressman and representative. Then call another congressman and representative and tell them that you can go on record as saying that you have a deadbeat congressman. They will love it. Yeah, go to the next one until someone will listen to you. Take it to the people who were supposed to carry our voice into the laws, into the law room. They're supposed to carry our voice into the law room. They're not supposed to do anything under that dome that we don't say so. They're not supposed to get any benefit from under that dome that we don't also have. That's constitutional. In the Constitution, it's written that Congress isn't going to be able to have any benefit that people don't get benefit. If we get a tax, they get a tax. Blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, they've written all the backdoor loopholes because we got criminals running it, or we've had criminals running it for a very long time. And we're going to have to come to terms with that. We're going to have to take responsibility for that. We're going to have to correct it. And we'll have to honestly talk about it so that we don't find ourselves in this bucket again, because this is a bucket of mess. You know, we don't need to be here. And we got this de-sanctimonious dude over there going, yeah, well, a decline is a choice. Yeah, they chose not to back We the People's voice. And everybody's playing the charade as if Donald J. Trump didn't win the presidential election in 2020. That's a lie. It's just a lie. We know it is. And we're just waiting for them to admit it. We already know it is. We're just waiting for them to admit it. We're waiting for somebody with, you know, the spinal rigidity and the intestinal fortitude to make a judgment call, to say it. We've been saying it for years. I mean, this is not new information, but folks haven't listened. And as far as there being no evidence, that's a lie. It's a bold-faced lie. They're right in it. They're just not looking at it. And then they're telling the American people, or pretending there's no evidence. They're pretending, just across the board. And now they have a whole line of on these Republican pretenders. So let me get a drink. And we'll see how it plays out. You know, everyone's showing me that my voice isn't important enough for them to protect, because, you know, they're ignoring the election results. They're ignoring We the People. And I won't let that rest, because it shouldn't rest. We need to win. We need to take our nation back. And just in case anybody, you know, forgot. Trump won and you know it. And I don't think it's ever a bad time to remind folks of that. All right, so let's move right along. Great Awakening. What is it? You know, people are talking about this. There's a lot of ways to qualify it. The Great Awakening is waking up and seeing things as they are and stop making excuses for the way, for the fact that they are the way they are, and trying to make excuses to make it okay. We're in a bucket of mess. The Great Awakening is, first of all, realizing it. Now, this is on a lot of different levels. The Great Awakening happens on even on the spiritual level, and we're going to talk about the spiritual portion of the program. But, you know, what comes first, the spiritual or the political realization? Well, they kind of go together. And there are some people that said that if they hadn't realized some certain things, you know, they wouldn't have come back to God. And now they're closer to God than ever because they're realizing some certain truths that the patriots are putting out. And it's reinforced their faith, and they can see God's plan at work on the world stage. And it's very, very faith-enforcing and encouraging. And then we have those folks who see as well, I want to see this, and I want to see that. Yeah, well, the kids wanted to be rescued about two decades ago, too. That didn't happen. So we can hold on. And we can suffer through whatever it is we need to suffer through for a little while so that we can make sure that all of the evil gets ripped out by the root, and that takes time. So who's who? Who's the infiltration rather than invasion? Well, there's always that stuff in the back of the book. People want to know who's who, and tomorrow night, or for Wednesday night rather, we're going to talk about Hermetics and Gnosticism and some of those things, what they have in common, what they have different, and we're going to ask the question, is there a place for it in Christian theology? We'll send, because there looks like there might have been during the first century. We'll talk about that. Be some of the things that Jesus taught. We'll have to ask those questions and not close our minds, but be willing to learn. Because we've had infiltration rather than invasion, even into the very core tenets of our belief system. And I want to say this about that. You know, the Catholic Church has been the place of which wickedness has decided to settle its power. That does not mean that people who attend a Catholic church are filled with evilness, wickedness, and all of that. That's not what anybody has ever said. It is not the people. It is those in the leadership. It's always the leadership that God's going to hold an account. It's the leadership that gets corrupted before the people ever do, and the people remain full of faith, not even realizing that their leadership is corrupted. And that's why God says, I'm the one that checks the hearts and the reins. I check your emotional system and I check your commitment. Your commitment and your emotional system. Make sure that you got on track. He wants your heart. Not a false thing. And he knows that if you're not taught something, but you fervently love him and you go to him in faith, what did they say about Abraham? Abraham said, you know, it says that Abraham believed God, believed what he said. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him as righteousness. Is it going to be any different for those brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church who are full of faith and love the Lord, but have been taught something different? God knows their heart. And when they learn the truth, boy, they hit their knees and say, God, teach me more. But we have to be careful. We don't want to insult our fellow lovers of the Lord, our fellow ecclesia, just because we think they're in the wrong church. Very, very careful about dividing the house and try to point too many fingers of the people in the body, in the ecclesia. Now, the perverted little idiots that are running the Vatican, oh yeah, we need to hold them into account. We absolutely. And we know that their crest is the dragon and the dragon gave power system. So was it the Pope? This is where we go to who's who. Is the Pope the dragon, or is the Pope being given the dragon's power? We're going to have to ask these questions. And who is the woman that rides the beast? Now, we know it's the false church, but could it also be the false crown? We have to think about these things and be fearless and not afraid if somebody gets their feelings hurt, but we don't need to wag a bony finger. We need to do it in an educational manner. And we have to be careful not to insult our fellow believers. That doesn't mean not make corrections where it is. But if you're doing it because you want to be proud and be right, God's going to deal with you. But if you're going to your fellow believer because you want to share a truth and you do it with wisdom and love and patience and understanding and long-suffering, well, then I think everything good can come about from that. So everything is important from our approach to our departure in this. Everything is important from our approach to our departure in this. We have to understand where God's taking us as an ecclesia. We have to be aware. We have to be watchmen. We have to be Nazarene, watchmen on the wall, to see what's coming, see where God is taking the ecclesia. He's moving them into a righteous position, but understand there are those in the church that are not righteous, and he's going to clean them out too. And some of us will be very, 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 very surprised on those that are going to be cleaned out. Maybe some of us won't be. But he's going to clean out the church, and I do believe he's going to clean out a lot of the church in public. When I say church, I'm talking about not just the Catholic Church, okay? I'm not just talking about the one in Rome. I'm talking about all of the daughters. I'm talking about all the ones that worship like her. I'm talking about all the ones. The church will be receiving some corrections. And God still says, please use the term legal challenge. There'll be a legal challenge coming to the ecclesia, the church. I'm not sure where it's going to start, how far it's going to go, where it's going to end up. I'm not sure. I'm just being told to tell the people, especially pastors, apostles, teachers, and preachers, that a challenge to the church as a whole, and I do believe it includes corporately all 40,000 denominations of confusion. I don't think there's a singular denomination involved in this. And I think that's what's been shown to me, and I'll continue in prayer with that so that I know for sure. But a cleaning is coming, and we need to welcome it. We need to welcome it. It may not look the way we expect it. Let me clear my throat. It may not look the way we expect it to. So it may not be as severe as we might expect. So understand that God's going to work. Holy Spirit's going to move. God's going to work, and it's going to get better. It might get bumpy. The world stage is going to continue to get a little bit bumpy. Why? Because it must. And I'm going to leave that there where that is. Now, as far as the Great Awakening is concerned, as far as the spiritual portion of the program, understand there is a lot of sunlight coming in, a lot of photonic bombardment coming in, a lot of coronal mass ejections, CMEs are coming in. It gives a lot of different types of radiant energy. And I notice some people this is like stereo instructions, and to some people it's like music. All right, what I'm putting forth here. But there is a lot of adjustment happening to adjust our DNA and to help. You know, God uses the sun. God is not the sun. God uses the sun and the different frequencies within the sun under the dome, absolutely, to help correct our physicalness. That's my theory, right? He sends all kinds of blessings. And we're seeing a lot of healings going on. We're also seeing a lot of awakening going on. And what does that mean? That means that the person usually has a very, very deep, not always, but a deep spiritual belief system, and they know God most of the time. And they've been using their gifts and all of that, and now the awakening is coming on, and they're becoming very, very awake. That means they're becoming very, very aware of the spiritualness of stuff, to becoming very aware of the holiness of things and the divinity of things, and a deep appreciation for the way of things. Confusion has to be walked through first, and we're finding this out. People are getting confused because their minds are changing, and it's like cognitive dissonance to the nth degree, yet without all of the argumentation in the head. So with cognitive dissonance, it kind of feels like angry and frustration. With this, it's a wild ride. And it can go in waves. And a lot of times it goes in waves and can be cued by this coronal mass ejections that we're experiencing from the sun. Why is that? Well, it seems to be by design. It seems to be by design. So, again, with the photons and the photonic, are you kidding me? Oh, we're getting stuff at the quantum level, people. You know, President Trump wasn't kidding when he said that we're going to be making, you know, quantum leaps forward. Now all these people come in and say, we're going to have big technological advances. Yeah, well, that's already covered. We're already getting there. And how are we getting there? Well, we're going to pull the cat out of the bag. And for those of you who do know this is going to be old school. For those of you who don't, this might sound rather exciting, because on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about monoorbital. Oh, this is going to get really good. You guys are going to love this. monoorbital, what's it called? Anyway, the whole thing is orbital, monoorbital metals, scarce metals, precious metals. You know, when on prior episodes of the program, we've talked about different things in diet, and that, you know, grape juices, apple juice and grape juice are both highly encouraged, grape juice more than apple juice, and here's why. Well, it depends on what you need, but the grape juice, when you choose your grape juice, what, you know, what the insight that I've always gotten from the Guardians and from God is confirming is that Concord grapes, of the grapes that we now grow, except maybe some of the ancient stocks, but of the grapes that we now grow, Concord grape is the best grape. And one of the reasons that it is the best grape is because its roots go the deepest. Now, why do we need to have the roots go deep down in the very deep soil where there's been a lot of water, right? We're talking about water over time, washing and dissolving and rinsing away and making particles smaller and smaller. We know how this goes, this erosion, this atomic mono stuff. So down at the very low level, deeper levels, there's all types of monoorbital trace elements available to the Concord grape that, because of its depth, it has access to that the other grape varieties don't necessarily have access to. Now, why is that important? Because all of these monoorbital nutrients, I'm going to use that again, all of these monoorbital nutrients have extremely positive health benefits for us. It's not just that it's the Concord grape, although that's part of it. It's not just the resveratrol. It's not just the this. It's not just the that. It's also the fact that this particular species of grape can go so deep into the soil that it can reach those particular elements. And why do we know that those particular elements, especially gold, is important? Well, because it's mentioned a lot in the scriptures. It's mentioned a lot in scriptures. And we're going to talk about that as part of the Great Awakening, some of the things that we need to know that we used to know that have become part of forgotten disciplines. So we're going to go ahead and write that down so I don't forget it, because it can come back on the other break and I'd just be like, ooh. So they have, and Moses dealt with Ormus, is common name that it's called, with these monoorbital substances. He had to. Because the physical and mental decay of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt was so great, they didn't have a chance of succeeding if you didn't give them a dose. And we'll talk about where in the scriptures that occurred. Now, before we go to break, and it's going to seem like it's a long break, but not really. It's just going to be a little bit, but I do want to bring this about that. Now, we've talked a lot about entitlement programs. We've also talked about the fact that the border's wide open on other episodes. And one of the reasons that we need to get these entitlement programs underway is, and we also have to get our border underway, is because we're being infiltrated and overrun financially, and our systems, our healthcare systems and our helping systems and all of those systems that are proportionately set up to take care of the American population are now needing to take care of the American population plus. And I want to tell you, when a doctor is getting paid a guaranteed paycheck from Medicaid from an illegal alien because they qualified for a benefit, a lot of times they're going to be, and they're not going to be choosy about the health care that they get, and they're going to go along with the doctor, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Which do you think would be a preferred patient to fill up a corrupted doctor's ledger with? I'm saying. We need to take a look at these things. What is the tendency? Who's covering who? Who's getting the most money? And why are we putting up with it? Because I've also met my share of very poor doctors that seem to make a whole lot of money, and I'm wondering why. How can they possibly have any patient load with the way that they treat people? And now that might be it. Who's to say? It's a guess. So we know the storm's coming. We know the winds of change are blowing. Trump won, and you know it. Let's go ahead and listen to what he has to say about the citizenship. What he will do on day one when he returns to the White House, to the Oval Office. I like the plan myself.
Joe Biden has launched an illegal foreign invasion of our country, allowing a record number of illegal aliens to storm across our borders. From all over the world they came. Under Biden's current policies, even though these millions of illegal border crossers have entered the country unlawfully, all of their future children will become automatic U.S. citizens. Can you imagine? They'll be eligible for welfare, taxpayer-funded health care, the right to vote, chain migration, and countless other government benefits, many of which will also profit the illegal alien parents. This policy is a reward for breaking the laws of the United States and is obviously a magnet helping draw the flood of illegals across our borders. They come by the millions and millions and millions. They come from mental institutions. They come from jails, prisoners, some of the toughest, meanest people you'll ever see. The United States is among the only countries in the world that says that even if neither parent is a citizen nor even lawfully in the country, their future children are automatic citizens the moment the parents trespass onto our soil. As has been laid out by many scholars, this current policy is based on a historical myth and a willful misinterpretation of the law by the open borders advocates. There aren't that many of them around. It's amazing. Who wants this? Who wants to have prisoners coming into our country? Who wants to have people who are very sick coming into our country? People from mental institutions coming into our country? And come they will. They're coming by the thousands, by the tens of thousands. As part of my plan to secure the border on day one of my new term in office, I will sign an executive order making clear to federal agencies that under the correct interpretation of the law, going forward, the future children of illegal aliens will not receive automatic U.S. citizenship. It's things like this that bring millions of people to our country, and they enter our country illegally. My policy will choke off a major incentive for continued illegal immigration, deter more migrants from coming, and encourage many of the aliens Joe Biden has unlawfully let into our country to go back to their home countries. They must go back. Nobody could afford this. Nobody could do this. And even morally, it's so wrong. My order will also end their unfair practice known as birth tourism, where hundreds of thousands of people from all over the planet squat in hotels for their last few weeks of pregnancy to illegitimately and illegally obtain U.S. citizenship for the child, often to later exploit chain migration to jump the line and get green cards for themselves and their family members. It's a practice that's so horrible and so egregious, but we let it go forward. At least one parent will have to be a citizen or a legal resident in order to qualify. We will secure our borders and we will restore our sovereignty starting on day one. Our country will be great again. Our country will be a country again. We'll have borders. We'll have proper education, and we'll put America first. Thank you.
We'll be back.
Shut Lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, no, that's why we're going to talk about the truth, and we're going to talk about it loud. And here's some of the truth that I want to bring to the program, that it kind of explains why it is that we talk so much about. And for those of you who are just joining us, I want to welcome you to the broadcast. I am your host, Leander Grace. We are broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. And one of the focuses of this program is to help with reconciliation, being holistic truth, right? And help relieve suffering, because we've got so many doubts and so many self-doubts and so many finger-pointings and so many your rights and I'm wrongs and your wrongs and I'm rights. And we're all over the place. And we really love each other, but, you know, we're getting on each other's nerves, and there's a reason for it. Let me get a drink. One of the reasons for it is we're actually being bombarded with all kinds of frequencies. And Leander Grace, well, that's kind of weird. Yeah, it is kind of weird. And I just finished saying, you know, the Concord grapes, their roots go very, 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 very deep, so they can get the monoorbital elements that are available at a very at a deeper depth that our body really uses for some intricate things that our bodies used to know, used to be able to do. And why is it that it has to dig so deep? Those questions we can answer tomorrow, but for tonight we just want to bring in the idea of the ormus, or the monoorbital elements. And why it's ormus when it should be, anyway, why they put it that way, I don't know, but it's orbital elements, monoorbital elements. Now, it's mentioned in Scripture that they're important. Now, remember when Noah first landed, the ark, when it first landed, God said, you know, when he came out, you know, he was in this area, and it was good for the gold and the onyx and the this and the that and the yada, yada, yada. And so evidently it was important enough to document in the Scripture, so it might be important enough for us to pay attention to. And the other place that I see that it's pointing to for us to take a look at, so it doesn't get lost into the dust heaps if we forgot about it, here in Exodus 32:20, and that's the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verse 20, and the whole scene is Moses coming down from the mountain after giving the law. He went up on the mountain, he received the law from God, and he came down, and these guys had lost it. They were so far away from having any type of internal compass of right and wrong, or any type of, patience or longevity or long suffering or any of that. And when Moses came down from the mountain, they'd already made a calf. They'd already done it. And then it talks about Moses' anger waxing hot in verse 19 rather, and he cast the tables out of his hands and break them beneath the mount. And here it is in verse 20, it says, and he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink it. Well, I want you to know that taking gold and putting it into the fire and grinding it into the powder, it creates a white substance. And he strode that onto the water to make the children of Israel drink it. Now, what did that do? Well, back in the ancient days, back in the times of the Nephilim, you know, when we see all these on the walls where people are floating around and levitating and doing all that stuff, well, Ormus had a lot to do with that. Some of the things that we're seeing them being given samples of in the temples on those inscriptions on the wall, it is suspected, and I think that it's actually documented, that what they were given was portions of Ormus. And what did that do? Well, it actually has a 50% less weight than mass, so it makes physics kind of go on its head. And with these monoorbital materials, we can make quantum leaps forward in our technological field. Now, if the bad guys are using it, do you think they'll let us know? Or would they hide this technology? And wouldn't it be the job of the good guys to go ahead and put a hurt lock on the bad guys, make sure everything is ripped out by the roots, bad guy-wise, before this amazing technology is presented to the public? I'm not saying. I'm just saying. And we're going to leave that. So it's documented in the scriptures that there's a reason to burn it in the fire and grind it into a powder, and he strawed it upon the water, and he made the children of Israel drink. And I also want to draw attention for future reference, something to bake your noodle with a little bit here, that the word for gold, and let's see if I can find it here in the translator, because I'm looking at the Interlinear Scripture Analyzer and going over here directly to the Hebrew that's on my left here as I'm reading it, is in the fire is grinding, and I'm looking for the word gold to be translated, because he didn't say anything about the gold, but the cast made of gold, we know that from the previous one. The word for gold has a very strange resemblance, and I'm looking deep into that for some other words, like soil and ground and stuff like that. So I'm going to be looking at that going further on, and I'll bring to you what it is, you know, that I find out about that. Okay, so here we go. We've got who's who. We've got people infiltrating. We've got all of these corporations that where the people hide behind the veil, that have these evil operations going on, and we've become lab experiments that have made us sick enough so that everybody gets a penny off of us. Everybody makes money off our illness. Everybody makes money off of everybody. It's a usury economy, and it was not supposed to be that way. It's not supposed to be that way. And I think a lot of people are actually starting to talk about this. And I think it's good if we pay attention to it, and if we can find a way to perhaps find a path to change it, to where we're not using the stuffings out of each other, but we are taking care of ourselves and consider ourselves, what is it that 107 says, not just our brother's keeper, but my brother's brother. Is that not what it's all about? I just thought I'd say that. So tomorrow, on Friday, when we come back on, we will have we'll be talking about the Ormus and the monoorbital substances that were used by the Nephilim, and that's why they needed the Igigi to mine it. We're going to be talking about what the Igigi are and how they were made, the argument that was over their creation according to their own tablets, according to the old Anunnaki tablets, and some of the others. We're going to talk about the Anunnaki and who they are, who they were, what they were doing, and why it is that some believe that there's something called a missing link and how that stuff works. We already know what the scriptures tell us, that there was, you know, that when we said it on the other program, you know, in Genesis 6, it tells us that there was a crossbreeding between the divine angels that fell and the ones that did not. And we're also going to start talking about the falling time, a snapshot in a snapshot with Revelation of when did that fall occur. I'm going to ask it now, why not? Because there was also another fall. Well, we're going to talk about it again on Friday. But we know that Jesus himself said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky, without any reference to contemporary times. All right, that's not where I'm going with this. And we also know that there was a war in heaven. Revelation told us that there was a war in heaven, and then that Satan was cast down. So we also know that Job, during the time of Job, that there was a challenge, and we find out that the adversary was actually walking to and fro on the earth. So when did the casting down come? And if that casting down is the same adversary that was up in Job's space, giving him a hard time because God loved him, then what is this, I saw Satan fall from the sky, is that not a witness? Then let me ask you this also, because he was already there tempting Jesus, right, when he went into the wilderness. So if we know that the revelation is the revelation from the Father to Jesus that Jesus gave to John to give to us, is it not, let me get a drink, is it not conceivable that from the very beginning it is the revelation from the beginning and the snapshot of the war in heaven is actually speaking about, in a chiastic way that this is written, it is actually speaking about what happened and why the adversary was walking to and fro around the earth. And Job, and let me get the exact wording of that so that I'm not misleading at all. And so in Job 1:1, da da da, boom, boom. And so it was, let me see, here we go. Now there was a day, and this is Job 1:6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, before Yahweh. And Satan came also among them. And he says unto Satan, where do you come from? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Now, why would he be doing that? Wouldn't he want to be up there? No, he was cast down early. He was cast down before Jesus was on the cross. He was cast down before the book of Revelation was written. Is that not correct? That the war in heaven did occur. We're also told in Enoch why that war occurred. Could that have been a war? Because we know he was cast out as Azazel. Is it a different name? Is it a different personification? Is it a different identity? Is it just a different language? Because if we're going to understand what's going on in the back of the book, we need to know how it reflects of what's going on in the front of the book. We're going to look about that. We're going to look at that. Because we're also going to be talking about Genesis 6, when, you know, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, two different species, two different creation levels, two different purposes. One was made to procreate, one was not made to procreate. How did they do that? We'll have to talk about that on Friday too, at least the beginnings of it. So we have our work cut out for us in bringing this stuff together and pulling this stuff apart and digging down and bringing it up. There's a lot of material to go through and a lot of material to hopefully put the dots out there in places for those who are listening, whether you are pastors or apostles or preachers or teachers or anybody else listening, because I am an apostolic teacher as well. So, you know, that having different resources from which to pull. And I will start publishing, you know, with the broadcast, a list of resources to go to so that you can look them up and start doing some studying for yourself if you feel so inclined. Because not everything's for everyone. Not all ecclesia are going to need to make a shift. Some will. Some will. And those who need to make a shift and are willing to, God will bless and provide for. Those who need to make a shift and are unwilling to, God will not bless and provide for. We're already told that. And this comes down to the time of the church is taking inventory, because as we said, we're going to have a challenge to it. So we have to take a self-inventory of ourselves as leaders and as ourselves as ecclesia and things of that nature. Okay, so the ecclesia is responsible for themselves, and of course the ministers are responsible for themselves and properly teaching the ecclesia. What they do with it is between them and God. So that's kind of where we're going to be coming at it from it going forward. We're going to handle these topics that are scary to handle. We're going to bring forward some information that might make you a little scratch a little head. But once you do some information gathering, some researching yourself, you might go, oh, wow. Oh, wow. So if you want a place to do a search and find out more about this Ormus or this monoorbital gold and the stuff that's alluding to all the way back to Moses' day, I would suggest doing a search for the terms white gold powder or powdered white gold or those three combinations together. And one of them will get you to a page that is all about the quantum sciences and the higher level technology that we're capable of and maybe some areas have been using but have not released to the general public. We'll see if that's the case. Could be, could not be. Maybe so, maybe not. We'll see. We'll see. So I'm trying to decide whether to bring the rest of this forward or not, whether to have a chopping off place or not. And I think what I am going to do is, I'm going to go ahead and bring just a little bit more. When we're looking into these other religions, we have to understand that anything that they say, they have a reason for saying it and a belief that they might be able to pull it off. Now, in the Anunnaki religion, in the Anunnaki belief system, there is the legend of Gilgamesh where it's alluded to that he is two-thirds of God and that it was actually Enlil and Enki that were going to destroy the earth. And then Inanna was all beside herself, and it was Inanna that built the ark to save mankind and Noah inclusive, and as well as putting Gilgamesh on the ark. That means that there were nine souls on the ark, not eight like God said. You'll have to decide for yourself. Now, Friday, when we bring up all of this stuff, you might be able to see where it is that these creation myths from the Anunnaki came in and how it is that they were able to sell it, especially since we did our preparatory set of Ormus and monoorbitals. I think that we're going to be able to get through all of the stuff that we have to bring on Friday night itself. So it's good that we brought this forward as part of the preparatory, because it also ties into the Great Awakening. Understand that the sun, the all of these things work together to have an effect and an effect on our bodies and on our minds. If it weren't so, then Moses probably wouldn't have done all the stuff that he did, because he had an unruly people that could not listen. They could not hear him. Not unlike the folks that we, you know, the public that we're dealing with today. We keep telling them the truth and they cannot hear us. And preachers of old, they kept preaching the gospel and the public could not hear them. And then it's the same. So what did he do? He goes, okay, we're going to grind this up. We're going to scatter it around. I'm going to make you some Ormus. How does he know about Ormus? Where was he raised? Was he not raised in Egypt where it was used a lot? So he probably had exposure to it. He's probably ingested it before. It was probably part of his upbringing and some of his teaching. Could be, if you can imagine him going to school and being brought up in this stuff. So he's like, I got some Ormus for you. And then after that, they kind of straightened up for a little bit, you know, for about a minute longer than I would probably. They straightened up. So God knows what he's doing. Everything that we need has been provided for us. We just have to figure out where it is that we left it, where we left the knowledge, where it's been hidden, and then why? Why? And what we might find out is those myths of Atlantis might even be true. We're going to talk about that. We're going to go gather into that. And some of the things that we're going to find out also is that more of when we find out how much of our history has been changed, how much of our geography has been hidden, and more of these revelations come about and we start to wake up, all these words are important, and we start waking up to what's really going on and we see the glory that's been hidden from us. Oh yeah, I'm going to go there. We're going to get angry, and rightfully so. not unrighteously so, but rightfully so. Then when this occurs, guys, and this is just good little highly suggest that it's, that if this occurs within you, and it does occur within you, that you not let yourself stay in a wrath, one, wrath, and two, remember that prayer is our obligation. Vengeance belongs to God. And the reason that vengeance belongs to God and he keeps it for himself is because we don't always know where the off switch is supposed to be. You know, and David told us very plainly when he blew it and God said, you can have, you know, this or this or this. He goes, oh, I'd rather God come and punish me than take on, than be exposed to the people, to men, because men don't know when to quit. God's just at his stopping point. And if we might learn from that statement, then men are not good judges of where the vengeance should stop, right? Where the hitting back stops. And so that's why we give the vengeance to God. That doesn't mean we don't revel a little bit. That doesn't mean, you know, we're not going to be extreme in this. But if we hold on to this idea that, oh, I'm going to get them back, sometimes that is necessary and sometimes there's a taunt, but understand that if we live only for vengeance, it's going to eat us up because that belongs to God. Now, he may send somebody to exact retribution for us, someone that can handle that level of authority, and then there we have that. But not all of us can handle that level of authority and that power level and wield it properly and know when to stop wielding. There's an art form to it. There's a humility to having that much authority. A humility is required in it. So that's what we've got. And going forward, we're going to continue. We're going to talk about this fire. We're going to talk about this ground up gold. We're going to talk about the Ormus. We're going to talk about the ancients. We're going to talk about why they were able to zip around in flying machines for a period of time. And then we're going to talk about some of the healthy things that came about. We're going to still talk about the scriptures, but we have to delve into the scriptures aside from the canon scriptures, those that were not included, even though they deserved to be. Even though they were mentioned, even though they've been witnessed by the canonized scriptures, they were not included in the reasons. It clears up a lot of things. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We have been broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. It's been my absolute pleasure to bring you the broadcast this evening. It seems like we've been all over the place a little bit, and that has been true, but understand the infiltration is all over the place as well. The trap that they've been able to set with a codependency of each department upon another department, each hand shaking the other and paying the other, whether by accident or design. Not that the people that are working and doing the job are malevolent in doing their job. They have only perhaps the best interest of others at heart, but understand the system the way it is designed. They have to work within it. And so the system, the way it is designed, is not necessarily one that's designed for escape. And we might consider making a better off-ramp for all of our brothers and sisters that are out there that have been hurting for a while or have learned only this as a way of life, to give them a good off-ramp from a system of dependency, one that rewards dependency and helplessness, rather than encourages excellence and thriving rather than just surviving. So there you have that. I am your host, Leanna Grace. Let me say that again, because we're going to start the whole sentence over after I have a little sip. Might be a little more fluid that way. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We've been broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. Been my privilege to bring you the broadcast this evening, and I hope you have found value in it. For those of you who want to get a hold of me and send me a shoot me a line offline, you can go ahead and get me at leandergrace@proton.me. That's leandergrace@proton.me, and that'll get you to me if you have a question or any of that or a topic. You know, I'm not likely to develop a pen pal relationship through emails and that, but if you would like to ask a question through emails or bring up a topic that you would like us to discuss with you, that would be absolutely great. We can bring it on air and all of that. So going forward, I'm reminding you too, as always, we will be back on Friday. And we'll be bringing more scriptures and scuttlebutts for your edification and perusal and otherwise stuff like that, all the big words that mean absolutely nothing but fluff, right? So I invite you back again next week, same time, same channel. What are we going to do? How about healing some more of our human experience through empathy, compassion, and ultimately forgiveness? Perhaps some more headlines, perhaps some personal, historical, maybe even hysterical, who knows? Just join us. And the S is inclusive, of course. We have been broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. I am your host, reminding you to, as always, to watch for those signposts, to connect these dots, to find your path, to live in love, and do something good as we learn to forgive. And until next time, good night.